places we're coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put some on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help you God. Welcome, welcome, welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. On yesterday, we was listening to a tape about the myth of dating by Michael Todd, Pastor Michael Todd, Pastor Lord's Church up in, I believe it's Tulsa, Oklahoma. Transformation Church, I think is what it's called. But it's a Lord's Church. And he's a young man, and he's talking about the myth of dating. So get close to your radio and listen.
Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10:31 that talks about this, and I honestly had this thought. Dating is like the second job interview. You know, like for a real good job, like a good high-paying job, you don't get one interview. You may have one, two, three, even four interview. Like if it's a really good job, high responsibility, all that, you might have a, listen, dating is a second interview. There's some things I should know about you in our first interview. Can I stand your smell? Like, we let people get into this next level of us being exclusive to try to get to know each other, and they didn't even pass the first level of the test. Do we even believe the same things? See, we let people into this space where then it becomes serious and we're Facebook official and everybody knows, and they weren't even supposed to make it past the first interview. They weren't even supposed to get to meet the other people in my life. See, and I want you to know the difference, because some church people are really bound and locked up. It's okay to go on a date, because a date is an event. A date is not a commitment. And some of y'all need to stop acting like dates are committed. Oh my God, I just went on a date with Bobby, and Bobby had just me and him, and we're taking pictures. And it was an event. It happened. It was over. You should assess it. You should see if there's any qualifications that were on the list of my priorities and visions that will allow this person to see me again or even get a second interview. See, the thing about good jobs is they know what they're looking for. And if you come to the first interview sagging your pants, your hair not cut, you can't talk, all this other stuff, they're not gonna call you back. But because we're lonely, we give people who are underqualified second interviews. Okay. Okay. Because there's a shortage in our company. We let unqualified people fill positions that they don't have the ability to fill. And what do they end up doing? Damaging the company. They cost us more than they're worth. So dating is not wrong if God is in the middle. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whatever you do, whether you eat, you drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So when you date, your dating relationship should be done for the glory of God. How you date should bring glory to God. Let me help you ask some questions to yourself. These are some good questions. Is who I'm dating bringing glory to God? How they live, how they talk, what they listen to, is it bringing glory to God? Well, they smart and they got a good job and they fine and they got their issues, but I'm gonna bypass that because God has shown me to be a cultivator and to be the one that helps people become and not the man that's supposed to lead you. He's supposed to cultivate you.
Come on, come on.
If she had whole tendencies that attracted you to her, do you think that turned off without a life transformation when she got with you? You like that she wears the leggings, she like that she wears the leggings, and they like that she wear the leggings. I'm just trying to come to your house to let you know that until you get to the place where you understand that who I'm talking to should be living their life to glorify God, you're starting off with some wrong ingredients. Another question you could ask yourself is how we are dating bringing God glory. Am I in the back of a car in a parking lot somewhere? Come on. Y'all already know. I've been outside of somebody's window at 2:30 a.m. in the morning. Got class at 6 a.m. out there trying to, are you up? I'm in the wrong. And if somebody saw me or caught me, would my witness be destroyed? Would I be able to say anything about my relationship with Jesus if they saw my text messages? I'm just trying to give you a formula to be able to see if this relationship is good for you or not. Myth 3, dating is a destination. It surprises me how many people date for long periods of time. Like, this is where we at. How long y'all been dating? 15 years. What did you just say to me? There is a kid in puberty as long as you've been dating? What are you talking about? And so the thing you have to start asking yourself is why? Why haven't we taken that step into covenant? Why haven't we moved past where we've been into commitment? What is those things that, is it because we're not living our life godly? Is there because we have reserves? Is it because I really know who you are and I love you and we've had kids together and we've built relationship, but I trust you enough to be with you? I don't trust you enough to trust you. I mean, this is real life. Like, as long as we right here, we can do this, but I'll never let you get close enough because I know who you really are. That means you're not supposed to be with them. It doesn't matter how long y'all been together. You are delaying what God would have for you. I was in the airport the other day with my friend Charles, and we got off of a plane, and we had to catch a connecting plane. And this is what we had to do. We had come from a place, landed, and we were trying to get to another place that would take us to the level we wanted to go. But because we were in one spot, we had to take transportation to the other spot. Now let me give you a definition the Holy Spirit gave me about dating. He said, dating is transportation to a relational target. It's supposed to be the vehicle. This dating thing is not supposed to be the place where we stay. It's supposed to be the place that takes us to marriage. It's the thing that's supposed to take us to covenant, okay? So we were on the plane, we got off one plane, and we wanted to get up to another level, but what we had to do was ride what they call a tram. And we rode the tram from Terminal A to Terminal C. And once we got on the tram, it was our transportation to where we really wanted to be, the intended target. And it's a beautiful thing to understand because they don't want you to stay on the tram. How do you know, Pastor Mike? They don't put a lot of seats there. They put enough there for you to hang on so you can get to the destination. And when you date too long, you are now putting yourself in a position to sit down in a place that was supposed to just be transportation. And And I want you to see this so clearly that when you do that, it will be uncomfortable because you were never meant to stay there. God wants you to get to the intent or get off. See, we was at Terminal A, but between Terminal A and Terminal C was Terminal what? Get off. If you realize that riding this dating train, I'm going the wrong way. I actually need to be at this terminal, and I'm at this terminal, and I need, you know what? This is not for me. I'll walk. I don't need to be surrounded in this company. I'll get off, and I'll walk. Why? Because taking the long route sometimes builds stamina in you that will produce what you really need. You may not find who you're supposed to be with riding this dating train. It's when you get off the thing and start walking and you say, hey. All I'm trying to say to you is dating is not supposed to be a destination. It's supposed to be transportation to where you really want to go. And some of you need to hear me say this. Recreational dating is dangerous. Like, I just date him, and I just date him, and then, you know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. When somebody introduced somebody to you, and you'd be like, oh, yeah, we used to date. Oh, y'all don't, okay, they don't say that. We hooked up. We were just friends. Somebody just said that, just devastated. Friends, I done said that so many times. But just think about all these code words that we use, friends with benefits. And what ends up happening in this situation is we get damaged because we were not supposed to be in this place sitting. We were supposed to be transporting. But you know, if he or she doesn't want to get with you and there is no plans, if you have to keep asking, well, what do you see in our future? And there is a vague, blurry image of like, yeah, one day we might, you know what? That day has come. Because I have too much purpose in me to sit here and be in a relationship that has no aim. Ain't the series called Relationship? You can't have a goal if you don't have an aim. Some of us just over here shooting at everything. And God said, no. Pull it back. Wait. God, I'm ready to shoot. Wait. Turn to the left. Down just a little bit. Boop, there it is. And God will allow you to get in right relationship with right people. So what do you want us to do, Pastor Mike? You done told us everything day to day. I want you to do this. I want you to be focused on intentional dating. I want everybody to write that down. Even if you're married, I want you to write that down. Intentional dating. What does that mean? I'm dating with purpose. I'm dating with the end in mind. Pastor Mike, what are you saying? If you can't remotely see yourself after going on a couple of events, which are dates with this person, you cannot see yourself being led, or you cannot see yourself being connected with this person, and you can't see yourself marrying them, you do not need to be in relationship with them to figure out and see if it can work. And the problem is, it's how God made us. Women, naturally, you are created to nurture. If you give a woman a seed, she's going to give you a baby. Like, they're incubator. They will take something in a state that it is not, and they will grow it to what it's supposed to be. You give a woman a bag of groceries, guess what she gives you? Dinner. You give her a house, she gives you a home. That's what a woman. But the problem is, you were created out of man, and God created him first. So you can never be the person to cultivate him. God asked man to cultivate the woman. And what's happening in society is we have a bunch of passive men who want somebody to take care of them, that want somebody to cook and clean and do all these other things, but you have not done your priority by leading the household. And the only way you can lead the household is be in communion with God daily. And if you're not Adam walked and talked in the cool of the day. Him and God had a connected relationship. And without that, you don't know how to lead the woman of God that he's created you to lead. And so what I'm saying to you is, everything that I'm talking about in this whole thing has to be intentional. Just everybody say it, intentional. Okay, last myth. Dating is harmless. That is a horrible myth. Dating can be devastating if it's done in the wrong timing and without God. I just think about it. How many relationships that people have got in where they have literally invested and sown so much time, energy, and effort into something that would only take from them. Many of us are products of that sitting in this room. But look what Proverbs 14:12 says. It says, there's a path before each person that seems right. Like that relationship seemed right when I got in it. That person seemed right. But he said, it ends in death. Another translation says destruction. What are you trying to say, Pastor Mike? There can be a death to purpose because you got in relationship with the wrong person. Open up your heart to the wrong person and let them discourage your dream. You used to be passionate about something and you got with the wrong person and it started to crush what God placed on the inside of you. You have to be careful of who you align your heart, your soul, and your mind with, because it can damage your purpose. Some of you are supposed to be doing things that you were created to do, but you got in relationship in a season you were supposed to be focusing in your singleness with the person you would not end up marrying, and they crushed something in you and talked about your self-esteem and got you in a place where you could not believe in your own self, and now you're sitting here with a death of time. You've lost time. And you've lost vision and you lost hope because you were in a wrong aligned relationship. Pastor Mike, why are you going so passionate about this? Because I want you to see and I want you to hear that who you align yourself with is more important than anything that you can do in your life. Because who you align yourself with and let into your heart will begin to guide what you do in your life. Well, 1 Corinthians 15 says, verse 33, it says, don't be fooled. Don't do it. Bad company corrupts good character. That's why you see these good girls get with bad dudes and bad girls get with good dudes, and they turn. Like, they didn't used to do that. Why are they doing that? The word is telling you clearly what happens right here. Look at verse 34. It says, think carefully about what is right. When you're dating somebody, you need to stop and think. Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Is this what's right? Do I line up right with what God is saying in my life? It says, and then it just says, stop sinning. Just stop. Think carefully about what is right and stop sinning. Why? Because if you're making decisions in a sin state, your flesh will always lie to you. Your flesh will always tell you, no, bro, that's good for you, bro. That is really a blessing. Look what God made, beautifully and wonderfully made, in his image, all of her. And we're doing all of this other stuff, and God's saying, you can't make a right decision right now because your flesh is ruling. Stop sinning and think about what is right. I just encourage many people in this room, even if it's this whole dating thing doesn't apply with you, stop sinning and then pray about it. Stop sinning. Let that door close. Yeah. Repent, turn, and then let God speak to you about it. Yes. I want to give you this thing that touched me this week. My wife thinks that Chris Brown was supposed to take Michael Jackson's place as the greatest entertainer of all time. And then he had a fall. And it's one of those funny things that he had a moment in his life. We were watching a documentary this week. And he basically talked about being in a toxic dating relationship. Changed. He said this out of his own mouth. He said, it changed the course of my entire life. He said, one night that was bad for me in a dating relationship changed my career, changed how people viewed me, changed how I view myself. He said, I'm dealing with these monsters on the inside. It's not even his wife. And because he was careless with who he got in relationship, because God wasn't the middle, because it changed the course of his life. My question is, who are you in relationship that's changing the course of your life? And if it's not somebody who's pushing you towards purpose, it's time to get out of that thing. Look at this anchor scripture, and I want everybody to remember this. It's Philippians chapter 2, and this blessed me so much. It says, for God is working in you, giving you the desires and the power to do what pleases him. Look how awesome this is. At salvation, God, no matter how messed up, jacked up, how many times you've fallen, he said, at salvation, inside of you, you get the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the one who is sent alongside of you to help. And once you get him, he is giving you the desire first. And then I love that God does not just give us a desire and not give us power. He gives us the power to do what he calls us to do. He gives us the desire and the power to do what? What pleases him. When it comes to your dating relationships or any relationships, I want you to know when you invite God into the situation, he'll give you the desire to do it right, and then he'll fund it. He'll give you the power to do it right. And what is he trying to do? He's giving you the desire and the power to please him. That's how good our God is. That's how awesome that he is to all of us. Verse 14 says, do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Look what you should do in dating. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Your dating relationship should be able to shine. And I want to talk to some of my people who are divorced and older, and you got your own stuff and you got your own house, or you may be widowed or your husband left or something happened. And we get in this space where we grown. I've been doing this my own way for a long time. And so now you start talking to somebody and dating them, and they have their own house and they have their own house. And so y'all just spend the night at each other's house. I don't care how old are you. Something will rise up. You did not become impenetrable because you were 55. And it goes against God's word because you can't shine that light. Would you tell your son and your daughter to do the same thing, that be in that place and put yourself in the way of temptation? No, you want your relationship to be something that shines. Everybody say shine. Shine. You want your relationship to shine. And that's what God wants for every person in this relationship. Pastor Mike, why are you telling us all of this? Why are you saying all these things about dating and myth? Because if you get the right perspective, you'll be able to set proper boundaries. And boundaries are biblical. The reason why people get messed up in relationships is they don't have proper boundaries. I'm going to end you with this scripture right here. Proverbs 4:23. And I want you to understand that boundaries are one of the things that God uses to help us reach purpose. Guard your heart above all. Do y'all see how important it is to put up the fence, get the guard dogs out there, get the barbed wire fence and the gun around your heart? Because if you don't, you will allow wrong things to influence your heart. And if things influence your heart, what does it do? It determines the course of your life. So let me help you. If the will of God is that you should just please him, what ends up happening is when we allow people into our heart very easily, we begin to go against the will of God. We begin to go away from what God has said for us. And we have to be ones that say, no. I'm going to set my eyes and my heart on the things that please God. I got gates. You can't get in this that easy. And when you recreationally date and you do all that stuff, you set a permission for anybody to walk in and walk out. And then what you end up doing is putting yourself in a position to take your eyes off of pleasing God. And I've done it before, but I put myself in a position that I'll do what he or she wants me to do instead of please God. Dating is so serious for all of you. And I begin to think, God, how can I really help these people understand what practical steps? How can we move past what we've done in dating and just make it so haphazardly? I talk to him, I talk to them. God said, I want you to focus on guarding this. If you would get with me and I could get with you, then I'll teach you and show you how to love somebody else. Man, there's so much that I have to say on this that I told them in the first service, that what we're going to do is next week, we're going to create a forum. Well, I'm going to do something called Relationship Goals Uncut. Because there's some stuff that I want to say that I can't say on camera. Because there's a real avenue that we need to talk. Let me just give you one of those things. See, because some of y'all are like, well, okay, Pastor Mike, I know the myths. I see what's happening. But how do I pick this person? How do I see characteristics that I'm supposed to find? Let me give you one. I'm excited about this. So let's go to the first relationship in the garden. The first relationship was between Adam and Eve, okay? Now watch. Before Eve ever came into the picture, Adam was found in the presence of God. God placed him in the presence. This word is a funny Hebrew word. It means a lot of things. It means spot. It means the place where there's an open door. It also means the place where God is. So let me help you. Eden is the spot for the moment where the presence of God is an open door to heaven. That's why Adam did not have to worship to get in the presence of God. He was already in the presence of God. He didn't have to praise and sing and all that other stuff. We have to do that because we were put out of the presence of God. Now watch this. The first man was found. Eve found him in the presence of God. Practical. Don't ever date a man who hates the presence of God. Because if he does not like the presence of God, he will not be able to get proper instructions to be able to lead you. And what some of you interesting females do is try to go to the club and find a man outside of Eden, outside of the presence of God. And then you marry him and then you try to drag him into the presence of God. You go worship. It'll never happen. See, I want to help you be able to live by knowing that God has a way that we're supposed to do this thing. And he wants us to do it his way. Yeah. I'm hoping that you hear the heart of this. The myths of dating, there's so many of them out there, but the thing that you want to remember is that God's working in you to give you the desire and the power to do in dating what pleases him. And if you just please your heart, I've messed up so many times in relationship, but my heart really was to please God. Man, I messed up. Get back to pleasing God. That's what repenting is. See, I mess up every sermon. I play drums. I mess up every time I play drums, but you would never know it because my comeback time is very quick. You'll never know. And that's what God wants for all of our relationship. I messed up. Come back to pleasing God. Oh, I failed again. Come back to pleasing God. You know, I just got to reset real quick. I made a wrong decision, but I reset. Don't fall and stay there. Don't have a bad moment and just stay there. Go and come right back. Because my heart is to please God.
All right, we're going to stop the tape right there today. That was Michael Todd, and he was talking about the myth of dating. The myth of dating. All right, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.